Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Once again, another slice of your childhood carved away in the last half hour.
Gone.
Look, Tony's in the trenches with this. He's telling you what's happening on the corporate side of it. What's expected? Why? How things work in today's economy. How big business sports works. You hate that.
No, I mean, I know it's a reality of things, but yeah, no, I don't like it. I mean, look at how much do you think AT&T is going to lose with Tiger not playing in the AT&T National now because of the elbow strain?
Well, but that's their issue. I think Tiger Woods has done more for the PGA Tour. Like, everybody set the foundation, but he does more for the PGA Tour than anybody else. Okay? There's no question about that. He does have the freedom to set his schedule any way he wishes in order to get maximum performance. So I agree with that. But I also felt that after he went through his incident in Orlando in, 2009, whatever it was, 9 or 10, all right, that he owed it, I think, to people to play in some spots that he had never played in before. You know, at least do it once.
What are you saying, some tournaments? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Or locations?
Locations. In other words, take this week the Travelers Championship. The Travelers Championship in Cromwell is going to draw. It'll be one of the top five drawing venues in all of golf this year. But just the way it is, they draw extremely well. Scottsdale will outdraw them. But they'll get, for example, 50,000 fans on that golf course on Sunday. 50,000. He has never once set foot on the property. Now, look at the timing. It's the week after the U.S. Open. Do you blame him? Now, Justin Rose, the U.S. Open champ, is playing in it. Mickelson has played in it before, and he's won it. But he's never once gone there. And I think there is a responsibility that he has to make the schedule work at least once. Now, there's certain places he won't be. Let's face it, he's not going to go to Quad Cities. I think that's opposite the British Opens. That's just a fact of life. But he owes it once to go to the St. Jude Classic in Memphis. He owes it once to go to Hartford and the Travelers. I think he owes it once along the way to go to, I mentioned St. Jude, with the Zurich New Orleans Classic. Just to get there once. Because who buys Nike apparel? Who buys anything associated with Tiger Woods? The fans. Now, I'm not saying he has to go every year and he has to play a 50-tournament schedule. That's absurd. But I think he can look at a four-year time slot and say, you know what? I've never been there. I should go. Now, he doesn't have to do any of this. You know, we talk about freedom as an American and so forth, which I take as seriously as anybody. So he can set his schedule whichever way he feels fit so he can get maximum performance. But is popping over to Dubai and coming back doing that? Corporate events on Monday and Tuesday, does that do that? And I'm just saying that in a four-year span, he should think about going just to a couple places that he's never gone to before. Just as, hey, look, You've had this tournament here for 50, 60 years, and I'm privileged to be a part of it because, you know, you're great fans just like they have great fans at Riviera. Now, is that idealistic on my part? Absolutely. Is it realistic? Probably not. But that's the corporate side of it. He's not going to play in these events because, number one, he fits his schedule to play the majors. Exactly, and if I'm advising him, that's exactly what he should be doing because it's all about the majors, and that's what he needs to do. I understand that. But I'm just saying for the ambassador of the game, I'd like to see that come out once in a while. Realistically, it's not going to happen. Corporate events on a Monday, Tuesday are far more important to what he wants to do, you know, for his own personal life. And I understand that. Going to Dubai, playing some of the foreign tournaments where he can pick up some quick cash just by, you know, let's face it, because, you know, they're forking over some paper to him to show up. Don't blame him at all. But idealistically, I'd like to see that happen. But that's the business side of it. When he's in a tournament, as you point out, the elbow injury, he's not in the AT&T, it's going to affect. When he's not there, it changes the quotient of what's going on. It's amazing what one man can do. But as Tony pointed out, when you look at Marion, Marion is a slice of golf in years gone by. That is where Hogan won the 1950 U.S. Open with the miraculous one-iron shot, which I had the privilege of seeing the plaque. I did not bother to go over to see the actual one-iron, which was in the clubhouse area. I had access to it, but, you know, you get busy with what we're trying to do with the show and things like that, so I didn't get a chance to see it. They actually brought it to the property. And, you know, so that's a slice of golf Americana right there. Trevino beats Nicklaus in a playoff. Slice of America of Americana. Marion has played an important role in golf in this country. But just like Ebbets Field doesn't exist any longer, and the Dodgers don't play in Brooklyn, Tony Knapp openly questions whether they can go back to Marion again based on the corporate setup. And as for going to 18 NFL games, they're going to go in that direction because guess what? That's where the cash is going to be.
No, the TV contract alone.
Yeah, but and one additional playoff team in each conference, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. So instead of having two and a total of four teams get buys, you're just going to have two. The teams that won the conference, they'll get first round buys. They'll be the only ones down the road. There'll be two more playoff teams at it in all likelihood. One from each conference. I know you don't like that. But you're still under half. Right now you're at 12 out of 32. That would be 14 out of 32.
As long as you don't get rid of the bye week.
No, they won't get rid of the bye week.
I think that's a necessity.
It'll be 18 games in 19 weeks. And that's going to be part of the compromise with this. Part of the compromise is going to be, look, you're going to get a bye week. In fact, there may be some lobbying to get two bye weeks and play 18 and 20. And part of the compromise could be expansion of rosters so more players would be involved in special teams and things like that so you don't have to put other starters on special teams. And at least open the door to slightly less wear and tear. Because it would be hard in the rank and file to play. But if you open up the door to more spots, more roster spots at the NFL minimum, those two games more than compensate for it. And then open the door maybe to playing 18 games in 20 weeks. But there's a reality to it. The reality is, when it comes to the money part of it, they're going to be awash in cash by doing this. And there's a romantic notion of what sports is that draws us to sports to begin with. And that's the playing and the drive for the division title and the drive to get to the playoffs and so forth. But there's an underlying part of this as well. It's a business. Just like Wise Markets is a business, this is a business. Sunbury Broadcasting is a business. It's the reality of it. Now, the people that own Sunbury Broadcasting got into this for the right reason, the passion of it. We're in this for the right reason because there's a passion of it. You know, we're employees, but part of the reason we do this is there's a passion for it. I do not wake up every day going, okay, down to the mine, got to go do this. No. And you tell me off the air all the time that, you know, this is the best 2 hours of your day. Yeah? Same thing here. So we're fortunate we have jobs that we love, but it still, in the end, is a business. We still sell commercials on this. We have day sponsors and so forth. Purdy Insurance on Monday. Good Friends at Brewers Outlet, of course, on Friday. More to come on other days, by the way. And on top of that, we have Sunbury Motors. We have Hilscher's General Store. You know, and we talk glowingly about all of them because we believe, A, in all of them, and B, they're great people, and C, they're important to the show. So you have people that are in this that are passionate about the game of football, but it's still a business to them. And 18 regular season games, look, the fans are getting ripped off anyway by when they buy season tickets by having to buy two preseason games. You know, imagine, you know, by the luck of the draw, gee, that fourth preseason game is part of your season ticket package. Oh, brutal. Now playing quarterback, Brian St. Pierre. Oh, really?
Oh, good. If we go to the third string quarterback, I'll know what he looks like.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that's the reality of it. Why doesn't Crosley Field exist anymore in Cincinnati? Why do they have Great America Ballpark? Forbes Field is gone. Why do they have PNC Park? Memorial Stadium? No, you have Camden Yards and M&T Bank Stadium. Arlington Stadium's gone. The ballpark at Arlington replaced it. Astrodome. Astrodome is completely vacant right now. You know, almost on the verge of being condemned. They play at Minute Maid Park and they play at Reliance Stadium. You know, I mean, you move to places that corporately are going to help you. They all have luxury suites and things like that.
But if you had one stadium that you could bring back in any sport, you had one stadium you could bring back and maybe figure out a way to modernize it but still have the character of the original stadium, which one would it be?
Yeah, but we have that already. We have Fenway Park. We have Lambeau Field. We have Madison Square Garden. We have the Rose Bowl. To me, those are the places. They're still there. Those are the places I think about bringing back, and I've been to all of them.
How does Lambeau Field continue to do what they do and not need to rebuild a multi-million-dollar stadium?
Because it was built as a bowl, and being built as a bowl gave them the ability to expand. So on top of the bowl, they were able to build independent structures of luxury suites, press boxes, and so forth. That's how they've done it, because it was built as a bowl, so they didn't have to tear down the existing structure below it. They could build independent structures around it. I mean, you look at Beaver Stadium. Beaver Stadium is a series of independent structures. Okay? Take the north deck. The north deck is a cantilever deck. The north deck in no way, shape, or form is actually attached to the rest of the stadium. The luxury boxes on top of the east side, they're an independent structure. Those luxury suites are not attached to the rest of the stadium. Do you know that?
I did, because I remember when they were first built, I remember that discussion. But unless you're really, really looking, you can't really tell.
That's exactly what they want. They want to make sure that when you look at it, everything looks like it's one piece all put together when it's actually seven independent pieces put together. That's why we always refer to it as the erector set.
I was thinking Lincoln Logs, but yeah.
No, we always have referred to it as the erector set. But, you know, these parts, they look like they're together. They're independent. That's how Lambeau Field's done it. And I've sat in the luxury suites in the club seats in the end zone at Lambeau. So, come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. We are 14 minutes away from the rant. This rant deals with the College World Series. Which is being played in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Stadium. And Kevin will be talking about that in his rant today. I know you're excited about it.
Well, I thought you were talking to the listener being excited about it.
No, I meant you. You're the one that has to deliver it.
I'm always excited about it.
The O'Bannon lawsuit is being heard tomorrow in court. They're going to start going down that road. There are a couple points about this that I find interesting. One pro and one con. I don't want to see the suit succeed because I think it completely changes the structure of what intercollegiate athletics has been since they started going down this road in 1869, despite the fact that it's dramatically changed. And that's the fact that I've said this before. I'll tell you straight out, student-athletes are already being paid. And as I've pointed out before, and I only make this as a point of fact and not a complaint on my part. I don't want people to think I'm complaining at all. I don't get the Penn State rate. I have to pay the state rate. So for those in Danville and Milton and Selins Grove and Shamokin Dam, and you send your children to Penn State and you pay out of your pocket the state rate, I pay the same rate you do. So I know what I've spent tens of thousands of dollars over the years for tuition for children. The difference is that, you know, they've been able to live here, and so I've avoided the room charge and obviously, you know, feeding them here, I still have to pay for that.
I was going
to
say, you haven't avoided the room charge, you've just deferred it.
Yeah, deferred it, but you're still not paying the thousands of dollars for the room to stay in a dorm or an apartment. So believe me, between room, board, books, tuition, student athletes are most certainly being paid. And when they exit, their parents or family members don't have debt. And they, the student athlete, does not also exits without the burden of loan debt. Student athletes do not, I mean, they leave without the burden of student loan debt. Every time, because it's been taken care of. I mean, ask the Kaisers how thrilled they are to not being paid tuition anymore with everything else that goes with it now that Ryan's on scholarship. Now, here's the part that's the sticky part. When you look at EA Sports, and I'm not, as everyone knows, I've never once played a video game, but I've seen it, and the likenesses are so true to the individuals being portrayed in the game, that is where the slippery slope happens to be. It's a corporate entity making money off likenesses. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, say, for example, they did a video game and they wanted to use Kevin and me as the voices. We'd have to get paid for it. They wanted to use our likeness, we'd have to be paid for it. When you pick up EA Sports College Football and it looks like Braxton Miller, sure does look like him, doesn't it?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, we're very proud to have them on board as our studio sponsor. The Sunbury Motors Studio here at the Chateau is... I said, Kev, you got to come here and do a show here sometime. You think you'd really be like, wow. You'd like it.
I love the photos.
Photos?
The stuff that was on the wall. The stuff that's on the wall that you've been telling us about.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few shots of, like, in fact, the three photos I have in front of the microphone here on the wall are my views that I took from my seat at Beaver Stadium, the Jordan Center, and Medler Field, Lebron Park. Each one from my seat. That's the view I have when I look out over the court, the field, or the ballpark. Now, what really hurts, and it does hurt, is that I lost a series of photographs when I had an old phone and I transferred over to this phone. They couldn't transfer them.
Yeah.
I had photos of what it looked like from my seat at Madison Square Garden, the Rose Bowl, and every stadium in the Big Ten and every arena in the Big Ten. That hurt.
Now you got to start all over again.
I have to go back to all those darn places. So, yeah. But I'd done that. I was like, I'll take this, you know. Oh, well. Not tragic. Talked about the abandoned suit earlier, about the expansion to 18 games in the NFL. I mean, you know, about how basically was stripped away Kevin's romantic idea of sports. Look, you love racing. These guys are all plastered, you know, with sponsors all over the fire suit, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and you ever notice how even the guy in 42nd position where the engine blew thought his insert sponsor name here car was the car to beat?
Oh, sure. Every time. Every single time. So, it's big business now. It's interesting because earlier today, for whatever reason, someone brought up the name of Curt Flood. And Curt Flood was the one that challenged baseball's reserve clause. Okay? And when he did, he had actually demanded $100,000 from the Cardinals after the, I want to say, the 68 or 69 season. And the Cardinals were not going to pay it. So he eventually challenged the reserve clause. He sat out the 70 season. He eventually played, I think, a season with the Washington Senators in 71. But he's the one that challenged all this because at that point, the reserve clause meant that no matter what, you were going to be with that organization for life until they turned you loose, which meant they could determine how much money you were going to make. There was no free agency back then. And between Curt Flood and the reserve clause and Marvin Miller with the union, they opened the door for contracts to be finished. And when they're finished, you then can go to whomever bids for you. There are interesting rules surrounding that now, but 4, 3, 2, 1.
I know what you're counting down to.
Exactly 4:40. I now step aside for the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
All right. It is College World Series time, and of course, Little League Baseball.
And we're out of time. All right, so.
is rolling into its version of postseason and all-star play. So that get me thinking a little bit about the aluminum bats. Now, a few years ago, both Little League, high school, and NCAA developed a new system, a new BB Core standard to help the coefficient, the ball bat coefficient, to, you know, get the ball exit speed a little bit slower and a little bit safer. So I looked up some of the numbers when they first implemented in the NCAA mid-season 2011 compared to mid-season 2010. Listen to this. The batting average went down from 301 to 279. Scoring went down to 7 runs a game to an average of 6 runs a game. Home runs dipped almost in half to 0.85 per game to 0.47. That's not even, you can't even round up to one home run a game midseason 2011 with the new bats. When you look at the pitching side, it dropped 1.2 in the ERA. That means, obviously, with the lower run count, pitchers were doing a little bit better against the hitters. Here's the one that impressed me the most. In the same amount of time between 2010 and 2011, the strikeouts in Division I baseball went from 277 to 444. That's how much of a change the bats made. And why would the strikeouts be higher? Because the batters have to swing now a little harder than they did before. The ball doesn't pop off the bat like it used to. So it got me thinking now with the recent incident in Major League Baseball and pitchers being in so much danger of the ball coming off the bat. At the Major League level, obviously, the aluminum bats aren't even being used. Is it time to look at it at the college level? Now, the scores have gone down quite a bit, average scores. You're not seeing as many double-digit games where both teams are in double digits and they have to go through 18 pitchers. But even at the high school level now, we're starting to see a lot of double-digit games. Maybe it's time to start considering going to wood bats and the wooden bats. I know one of the arguments is the cost of the wooden bats compared to the aluminum bats. But right, I tell you what, as a parent, I've looked at both of them, and the costs are pretty much the same. Is it time to make the change at the college level, the way Division II is thinking about seriously doing it? Is it time to make that at the college level and work its way down to the high school level?
Kevin, Little League should be using wooden bats. No, Little League should be using wooden bats.
I'm mixed on that.
No, Little League, I mean, this aluminum bat thing is junk.
But I've seen the difference at 13 and 14, especially if you're talking senior division Little League baseball, with the bigger base paths and now the full field as opposed to the short field you see in Williamsport in August. Those kids are not popping the ball off the bat dangerously fast.
The two toughest transitions I ever had to make as a coach were 9 and 10 year olds, where the kids were finally pitching to each other, and 13-year-old when they went to the big field.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
I mean, those are the two toughest transitions of it, because it's not a question of, okay, I have to find pitchers. You have to find catchers that can throw the ball down. You have to find a shortstop and a third baseman that can make the throw across the diamond. You have to have a first baseman that's competent enough to catch a ball that's coming from a deeper distance. There's a lot of things that go into it. When they get to 14, though, I mean, it's amazing how comfortable they become on the bigger field. But I am a firm believer, and always have been, right, that aluminum bats should not be used in baseball. It should be wooden bats from day one all the way through. College should be using them. High school should be using them. Little League should be using them.
Now, Legion Ball does. Junior Legion and Legion Ball are.
Right? I mean, why is it so important to have the Cape Cod League and the Alaska League? Why? Because they're wooden bat leagues. You can't get a good read on a prospect who's not out there using an aluminum bat. You can't. You can't get a feel for that. You can't.
But I will say this, the change in the BB Corps made a huge difference on the pop of the bat and the speed the ball is coming off of that bat. Huge difference. It is noticeable to the naked eye.
Oh, it is noticeable, but I mean, they should be using wooden bats.
Now, this is my question that we can open up the phone lines at 800-795-9565. My question is, as a parent of a high school player or even a college player or even a little league player, what's your feeling on it? Does it make you nervous if your son or daughter is a pitcher? And this goes for softball as well. Does it make you nervous that if your son or daughter is a pitcher that they have an aluminum bat in front of them?
No, I just don't think it's great for the game.
I'm okay with it up to about 14.
No, I think Little League ought to be using wooden bats. Everything's relative, you know. You hit the ball straight back through the box at the age of nine. You're hitting the ball back through the box against a nine-year-old. It was a nine-year-old's reaction.
If you hit the ball straight back through the box,
okay, with the velocity of an 18-year-old, that is has the reaction time on the mound of an 18-year-old. It's all relative, okay?
And the other side of the coin is, are we being too overly protective now by worrying about things like that by playing sports?
Oh,
we don't necessarily think of baseball as a contact sport.
Overly protective. I completely agree with how they've done dugouts, for example.
What do you mean? Be more specific there.
When kids sit in dugouts, now they're covered.
The ones
I'm around here.
Yeah, I know. I've forgotten even the open dugout. I mean, I don't even remember if I played. We had open dugouts.
No, we had open. We had all open everything when I played. We played with wooden bats. We had open dugouts. The whole thing. Blah. You know. Care. You know.
I did play a couple of places that didn't have dugouts. So.
All right. Which happens. But, I mean, I like the fact that they've done that. I can't stand the cages in the front of the face. You know?
I'm not a big fan.
Just do the double flap helmet and the whole thing. It's like, look.
But then again, you see a pitcher get hit like the other night. And you see with J.A. Happ's another example with a fractured skull.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It makes you sit back and go, okay, maybe that's not the worst thing. I mean, I know we're talking also, pitchers here, but...
It's also the one in a million shot, too.
That's the other side of it.
It's the one in a million shot. I mean, you just bad luck. Bad luck, bad timing, bad place, the whole thing. How many times a year does that happen? Once, twice? In terms of being hit in the head, I'm talking about.
Seems like a little more often now because of the coverage of it, but.
Yeah, that's a perception. I mean, Dick Pohl, for goodness sakes, he got one up the middle and hit him years ago, derailed his career. Yeah. But, you know, I think that. Safety is important in sports. Concussions. I'm glad there's far more research on concussions now than sports. In sports compared to what they used to be. You know, but at the same time, I think that some of the things go a little bit too far. Because guess what? When I was growing up, you know, play with wooden bats. I don't remember anybody getting a concussion. I don't remember anybody getting hit with a ball. Okay. I don't remember any of that stuff.
See, I was lucky. When I played Little League Baseball, it was during the transition from wood to aluminum. And that was fairly new. So not a lot of teams bought the aluminum bats. I mean, the first couple of times that you swung an aluminum bat and you felt you heard the ping and you felt the ball barely come off your hands, it was like, wow, this is the best bat ever. And maybe that's what clouds my judgment in wanting to get rid of the aluminum bats in Little League.
I think aluminum bats wooden bats should be in Little League, and then they can take the fence in to where it used to be at Lomedy Stadium.
Well, that's a whole other topic there when you're looking at that level too. I mean, looking at some of the kids at 12 and 13, they're not the same 12 and 13 year olds I remember playing against.
Sure. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. Your dream car, a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, just $33.99. And get ready for these deals. On a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport, a 2011 Ford Escape 4-wheel drive XLT, a 2010 Chevy Traverse 4-wheel drive 4-door LT, a 2012 Ford Econoline Wagon, 2011 Chevy Equinox, and a
four-door 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-wheel drive Sahara and a 2012 Ford F-150 four-wheel drive Super Crew 145 Raptor feels so good that you have to call for our lowest price promise. 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at SunburyMotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I just say
the aluminum bat thing, it's just, I just don't think it's right for the game.
I did have a Facebook question from our Steve Jones Show Facebook page. What's your take on UCLA claiming their new linebacker, U?
Actually, I think it was actually a shot at USC when they did that, to be honest with you.
Oops.
You know, but if they want to make ridiculous claims, you know, if you want, you know, I've got Jack's cell number.
I'd love to hear his thought on that.
Oh, wait. We laughed about it yesterday. In fact, we're trying to think of any UCLA linebackers out there. To be honest with you,
somebody did a comparison. I don't remember if it was CBS or somebody did a comparison and put it online. And yeah, I don't think I recognize more than two.
Is Von Miller from UCLA for the Broncos?
I don't know. I'll have to find out here. Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. Oh, see, not even him. Oh, well. It's, you know, it's just not their day. I mean, when you can't even name UCLA linebackers, you can't claim it. So, I guess Jack called me yesterday. We laughed. Then moved on to other important business.
And moved on to a real conversation.
Yeah. You're like, you got to be kidding me. Really? Really? Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And, of course, if you have any questions, you can post them on our Facebook page. You can email stevejones@wkok.com or give us a call.
Absolutely. You can do that anytime. Tomorrow, John Wehner, analyst for the Pittsburgh Pirates, is going to be on. We're going to talk with him about the great start the club is off to, but at the same time, about some of the potential pitfalls. When you look at the ball club. Now, I know we're not talking about the Phillies. I understand that.
Well, I am excited for tonight. Carlos Ruiz in the eighth slot as the lineup got announced for tonight's 7:05 game with the Nats.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Jimmy Rollins. Oh, no, he is in the lineup. Sorry. I was going to say, I didn't see Jimmy Rollins in the lineup, but then all of a sudden I stepped over him.
It's all right.
How long before Brown goes in the four slot for Howard, though?
You know, Howard's hitting .350 this month. You know that?
This month.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't move to 450.
No, this month. No, that's what I'm saying. This month.
I mean, you don't move the 350 guy out.
I'm looking long term. I understand what you're saying. This month he's hitting 350. Next month it'll be $1.50.
You're cruel, man. Cruel, bitter fan.
Mayberry not in the lineup today.
Really? How about that? Well, you know, I mean, look, Mayberry is one of those guys that is a good professional baseball player, but he is not a great professional baseball player. And that is one of the problems that the Phillies have. They have too many good players and not enough great players.
I find it.
Jimmy Rollins used to be a great player, no longer. Chase Utley isn't in the lineup enough to be a great player any longer. Ryan Howard coming back from his injury can't be classified as a great player any longer.
I find Mabry's stance unusual for a tall guy. I mean, you'd think you'd want to use every bit of that frame, but he crouches down so much. It seems like, and I am not an expert at batting, okay? I'm just giving you my general observation. It just appears as though he loses an awful lot of power just because of the way his batting stance is developed.
Oh, I know.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there that told him to do that because they're smarter than I am. I get that. It's just what I looked at and couldn't understand.
See all sorts of stances. You don't look at me as to what works.
Somebody getting paid a lot more than you and I both to figure that out.
I also have this philosophy. That's their problem. I've got my own problems. John Wehner tomorrow. Look forward to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.